Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart, text number 34. Bhagavan Brahma Krishna Jira Miksha Manishaya Tadhadya Vasat Kutosto Ratirat Manyato Bhavat. Bhagavan, the great personality of the Brahma.
Brahma.
The Vedas.
Katsnina.
By summarization.
Three times.
And Viksha.
Scrutinizingly examined.
Manishaya.
Manishaya.
With scholarly attention.
That
Adyavasat
ascertained it.
Kutahasta. With concentration of the mind. Pati. Attraction.
Atman.
Which is also Atmani. Under the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna. Itaha, by which Bhavet, it so happens. Translation. The great personality Brahman, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas three times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. Report by Swami Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami is referring to the highest Vedic authority, Lord Brahma, who is the qualitative incarnation of Godhead. The Vedas were taught to Brahmaji in the beginning of the material creation. Although Brahmaji was to hear Vedic instructions directly from the personality of Godhead in order to satisfy the inquisitiveness of all prospective students of the Vedas, Brahmaji, just like a scholar, studied the Vedas three times, as generally done by all scholars. He studied with great attention, concentrating on the purpose of the Vedas, and after scrutinizingly examining the whole process, he ascertained that becoming a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the topmost perfection of all religious principles. And this is the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, directly presented by the Personality of Godhead. The Vedic conclusion is thus accepted by all acharyas, and those who are against this conclusion are only Veda Vada Adatas, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita 2.42. Bhagavan Brahma Akasyena Ji Anviksha Nishaya Tad Adyavasat Akutasto Arati Radman Yato Bhavet.
So,
in this section of the Bhagavatam, so we have regular scholars, and we have some scholars who have come from other parts of Australia, the world, I guess. We'll get to see Maharaj, rather get soon. When is Maharaj arrived?
Supposed to be today.
So, just to put the verse in context, we have been hearing that Prigit Maharaj asked the question to Sukadeva Goswami, what should be done by a dying man, a dying person? And herein, in this chapter, we are getting the answer by Sukadeva Goswami. In the previous verses, he has described that what should a person do is in this cycle of birth and death, they should try to get liberation from the cycle of birth and death. This is this is the answer. That's not the answer that you usually get in this world. Usually, the cycle of birth and death is considered to be just the way it is, and the way it always will be, and there is nothing you can do about it. Although, modern scientists are trying to, perfect their medical science, the various sciences, so that they can somehow or another maintain this material body. They believe that ultimately they can just keep this mechanical body going. So they believe that, of course, they will have a problem when the sun no longer exists. So even if they have the greatest scientific advancement, and all of a sudden the sun dies, that's a problem they haven't factored into their equation. So how will all their scientific advancements stack up when there's no sun? Ultimately, it's a futile attempt. And of course, when there's no sun, there's no earth. When there's no earth, there's no scientists. But this mentality that was there in the past, we see that Hiranyakasipu also, he wanted immortality, and Brahmaji said to him, that's not possible that I can give it to you. I cannot give that. But he thought that, if I just, exclude all the possibilities where death may take place, which is sort of the same mentality as the scientist, then that's equates to immortality. But Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that death, I am the life of all that lives, and I am also death personified. These are insurmountable. These factors are non-different from the personality of Godhead, and therefore they are insurmountable. So Sukadeva Goswami, he describes, don't try to just keep this material body going as Hiranyakasipu did and as the scientists are trying to do, just keeping this material body going. You come to the point where you understand, you become purified of the ahankara, or the false ego, and you understand that you are spiritual by nature, Brahman. You become purified. You come to that platform. That is the platform of liberation. Because, actually, birth and death are there because we are identifying with a temporary material body. And as soon as we don't identify with the temporary material body, then we are good as Brahman, because that is our eternal constitutional nature. So then Sukadeva Goswami described this process of liberation by two paths. There is a gradual or indirect path. Of course, the direct path, as we just stated, is, you know, coming to that realization that I am not this material body. There is an indirect path whereby the yogi, you know, gradually goes to the sun planet, becomes purified, you know, of material contamination to some degree, and goes to higher planets and again becomes more purified, and, you know, gradually attains Brahmaloka like this, and just gradually becomes more and more purified. It's a much slower, much more, you know, difficult, arduous process, gradually attaining Brahmaloka. And then from that Brahmaloka platform, there is a possibility of, you know, attaining liberation there. So that is there, but one can, you know, even without going through that very indirect process, one can directly achieve liberation by coming to this realization straight away. I am not this material body, you know, I am therefore I am Brahman, aham Brahmasmi. So these paths have been described. Now here, and in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami is describing that there is another path, and that is the path of bhakti, or devotion to the Supreme Lord. In the previous verse, he describes that for those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service to Lord Krishna, bhakti. And then here, he goes on further that the great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of mind, studied the Vedas three times. And after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. In the previous verse, one may question that we don't see the words Sri Krishna in this verse that has been mentioned. In the previous verse, we see Vasudeva Bhagavati. Vasudeva Bhagavati. Devotional service to Lord Krishna. Another name of Krishna is Vasudeva. Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead. In the very beginning of this Srimad Bhagavatam, there is that verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. So again, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Vasudeva Bhagavate, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. The same. Chamadhyashaitaha. That everything within material creation is coming from Lord Sri Krishna. It is being maintained by him, Vasudeva Krishna, and it is being maintained by him, and it is being destroyed by him. So then the prayer goes on to say, that what is this Vasudeva? Is this some chunk of stone? source of everything, is fully conscious. And Svaraj, that this supreme origin of everything, who is fully conscious, he was not educated by anyone, because he is Svaraj, or he is completely independent. But in fact, it describes that even Brahma, the first creature in the universe, and the topmost Vedic, the person who disseminated all the Vedas, Brahma was instructed by Vasudeva. So he is the original scholar within the universe, and he was instructed by Lord Sri Krishna. So Krishna is distributing knowledge to Brahmaji within the heart. But Krishna himself, where did he get that knowledge? He is completely independent. He is fully conscious because, how is he independent? Because he existed before material creation. Brahmaji existed after material creation, and therefore he is dependent upon a cause, the cause of his existence in material creation. But Vasudeva, Krishna, he existed before material creation. Everything is actually emanating from him. And he is the supremely conscious and independent Supreme Lord. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the previous verse, of course, this Vasudeva, and also in the verse previous to that, there's again Bhagavan Vasudeva. Again, Lord Sri Krishna. Now, one may question, well, there are many Vasudevas. Therefore, we see that this Vasudeva Krishna has been distinguished in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also by Krishna himself. Krishna declares, I am that Vasudeva, that after many, many births, one who comes to full knowledge surrenders unto me, Vasudeva Saranati. And many, many, and Arjuna and Vyas and Radha, they all declare that this Vasudeva, this is Krishna. Vasudeva means he is the son of Vasudeva and Vasudeva Devaki. Now, of course, if we examine the Vedic literatures, here is Srimad Bhagavatam, so we see that many times the word Vasudeva is there. In the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva is there. And in all those references, we are referring to Sri Krishna. Just like in the prayers of Queen Kunti. In the prayers of Queen Kunti, she is also describing Krishna. So, Queen Kunti, of course, is a devotee of the Lord with a very intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, of course, we can imagine, one has to be, if one has a very intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what confidential knowledge they must know. If you're going to ask someone, tell me about something, as you ask someone who's very confidentially related. And Prabhupada says that the difficulty in many religious systems is that, one, they have very little information, if any, about understanding God. And if they are fortunate, they may get a little understanding that God is great. Not much more than that. You know, and He's the source of it. He's so great, and He's the source. They may not get much more than that. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, in the Vedas described that this sambandha, or little understanding that God is great, that is the beginning. But it is not as important as abhidaya, or forming a relationship with that Absolute Personality of God. So, you know, we may say that you know, everyone knows that if there is some great personality, just like who's in town, the pop group, One Direction. They are the biggest boy pop band in the world, and you know, the girls between the age of 13 and about 17 or something, they're just screaming. You know, they flock to the airports in masses, and screaming and screaming. So, of course, when you know, their understanding is, oh, this is the greatest rock band in the world. So they understand that. But that's not enough. They have to develop a relationship. That is more important. So when, you know, when the rock band came, there's about four or five of them in the group. They came through the airport, and some of these girls have been waiting, you know, 24 hours, 36 hours, you know, not, don't know how they do it. And they shuffled them straight into the car, and they didn't even get to see them, they didn't see them at all. And they were crying and distraught, and their lives were just ruined, life, you know, wasn't worth living. But there was one member who came later, and of course there was a huge publicity that, you know, that everyone had been, they didn't get to even see them. And he made a point to just wave and look at a couple of the girls for a few seconds, and then he was good though. That formed a relationship. There was some activity. And then, of course, the next day, you know, that same one, he stopped, you know, and he sort of took autographs and said, the same, you know, when the, you know, Prince Charles or the Queen or Harry or, you know, come to Australia, or, you know, people understand these are great personalities, they're, you know, royalty, but they, if they shake their hand, or, you know, they get one 2 second word, or he looked at me, or he touched me, there's a relation, there's an activity which is more important. So actually more important than you know, just understanding that someone is great, God is great, is when there is an activity in relationship to that person. And what to speak of that activity, that, you know, Queen Kunti, who's the aunt of Krishna, you know, so Krishna allowed that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he arranges his pastimes in such a way that his most dear devotees are always with him, you know, always there, having intimate relationships like that. So this is more important. That authority, that person who understands, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by way of intimate, confidential relationship and activities with that person, that person is, their understanding is far greater than those who have, you know, some understanding that there is no relationship, you know, what to speak of, a confidential relationship. So Queen Kunti, she says that this Krishna, because she approached him, and she's offering prayers to him directly, There's no question she's talking about some other Krishna. You know, she's looking at Krishna. He's on his chariot. The battle of Kurukshetra is finished. He's about to depart. She doesn't want him to go. She's saying, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You existed before material creation. Same prayers. Who are you? Just, you know, you are the son of Devaki and Nanda, son of Vasudeva. So she describes Krishna has this, you know, he was born as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, but he had more intimate, you know, activities in relationship to Nanda and Yashoda. So if we examine the Vedic, you know, literatures, we see, well, who is this Vasudeva? That is Krishna. Yes, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, you know, there was one person in India. He says this Krishna, this Vasudeva Krishna, this Krishna, he is, he was a very powerful Aboriginal tribesman. He was an Aboriginal tribesman. He became very, very powerful. So powerful that people began to worship him as well. So, you know, what do we understand from that statement? Of course, if one hasn't studied the Vedas, it actually sounds like quite a good proposal, doesn't it? If you don't know anything about the Vedas, you've never read the Bhagavad Gita, you've never read the Srimad Bhagavatam, or you've, you know, heard a few things from them, you know a couple of things, then, well, it sounds okay to me. Yeah, okay, powerful tribesman. Yeah, that sounds right because, you know, when we go back in India, of course, they're all primitive people living in the jungles, eating, you know, these some of the mushrooms and becoming hallucinated. You can imagine one of them's become very, sounds about like this. You know, and what I've heard, Krishna was a bit of a, you know, he liked to associate with so many ladies, and, you know, it was obviously, sounds right, you know. But of course, and this is the difficulty. This is, therefore, here, Brahma, just to make sure that if someone is going to discuss about Krishna or hear something about Krishna, that this is the process. Now, of course, Brahma, here is described as Bhagavan. Bhagavan. Bhagavan, we know that Bhagavan is a person who is a great personality. We can only imagine the position of Lord Brahma, that he is the creator, the secondary creator of this entire universe. So his knowledge of the universe, and he was the first one to accept knowledge within the heart from Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna explained to him the entire Vedas. Now, you can imagine Brahma's, you know, qualifications. That Krishna, and Krishna also studies the Vedas. You know, when Krishna was appeared within this world, he also studied the Vedas, just to show that, you know, this is the process. You study from the start to the finish. Okay. But Krishna, he has spoken the Vedic knowledge to unlimited Brahmas. What is the scope of his knowledge? As many universal creations there are, that many times Krishna has spoken the Vedas. that sort of a teacher. We just look at Krishna's credentials, that as a super soul, Vasudeva, because Vasudeva also means that he is, all pervading. He is everywhere. He is within everyone's heart. He is within every atom. Krishna is arranging, fulfilling the desires of every single living entity. So, at the moment there are so many little bugs even crawling around within the tulsi dirt, little microorganisms and within our hair, and there's so many living entities. Krishna knows, we don't even know they exist. Even in this room, and Krishna knows the intimate desires within the heart. He knows what's in our heart. And he is understanding the what is going on within the heart of every living entity, not just within this whole universe, but within every universe. This is his qualification. So it is this person, this teacher, who is teaching Brahma within the heart. So we can understand, Brahma has the best opportunity. And Brahma successfully created the material universe as a result of those instructions. He is a guna avatar, so he's actually an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, a qualitative incarnation. So he's no ordinary person, but just to show that when you study the Vedas, he studied three times. Despite, his great qualifications himself, despite hearing from the most qualified person, he himself still studied the Vedas three times, scrutinizing them. But if you talk to hear some of these words, it says anviksha, scrutinizingly examined all the Vedas, as Prabhupada mentions it in the purport, that he studied the whole process. So if someone, there's some book gone with the wind, I don't usually read novels. I think I've read one or two in my whole life. But I will sometimes look at the last couple of sentences. Because one of the most famous sentences in Gone with the Wind is, tomorrow is another day. There's a whole book about tragedy. Just one tragedy after another. And in the end, Scarlett says, still here. Tomorrow is another day. Like that. But, so I've read, I've seen parts of the movie, I've seen a couple of sentences. So I wouldn't be a good person to discuss that book with. I've got a little bit of an understanding. Someone who may have read the whole book several times, a person's interest, and they study, literature. So I couldn't do a course, I couldn't become a teacher and teach English literature and choose that book and start teaching. But actually this is what people do with the Vedas. I always ask people, practically everyone I meet and sit with, and I ask them, do you read the Bhagavad Gita? And the majority of people I'm talking about, because many of the Indian congregation were sort of coming along, new people, but not the ones that are here full time. But they sort of look at me and smile, embarrassed. I haven't read. But you can guarantee, because when I talk to them, I speak to them on the phone who are organising some ceremony or something, and it is very difficult to talk to them, because the impression you get is they know everything about Hindu religion. You get that very distinct impression. But if you ask them, have you read the Bhagavad Gita? He read the Mahabharata. Ramayan, oh, my grandmother used to be Ramayan. And Srimad Bhagavatam, what's that? But if you sit down and discuss the philosophy of ancient India with them, they are the authority. and it's very hard to talk because they're just so convinced. And when you look at their authorities, because yeah, oh, my grandma, I heard this from my grandmother. I got a friend who, you know, works in IT, and he was saying this. And from this casual, a little bit of hearsay here, they read those comics, little chitra. Those comics about some of the Hindu, chitra, Amra, chitra, katha. You know, they've got some comics for their kids, they might have seen a few things and captions in the cave. You know, from this, the philosophy is formed. Brahma, he studied the whole Vedas. This is our chapter. He studied the Vedas not just one, three times, it describes here. Because this is what a scholar does with great attention. Manishaya. As Prabhupada says, kutastha, that with great concentration of mind, the mind is fixed. Every 2 or 3 months, in the middle of some hectic life that one is living, one is, happens to be on an aeroplane and picks up an article about India and some of the Vedas. And then another 3 months later, the mind is just absolutely fixed on studying intently at the Vedas. And Brahma Kasnina. Not just some, to study that, yes, I can recite the Bhagavad Gita forwards, I can recite it backwards, I can recite it sideways, up and down like this, but not even the slightest understanding of the meaning. It's like, I know whenever my Guru Maharaj comes, I always push my daughter forward, as most parents do. Well, she knows another slogan. And she'll recite the slogan. And then he'll always say, what does it mean? I'm understanding that I have to teach her. And this is extremely important for the children. Essential. The essential purpose, what does that slogan mean? What does the essential understand? It doesn't have to be too complicated, but they have to understand the essence. Not that they, learn 30 slokas and you ask them, the meaning of one, they can't tell you. There's benefit there, but still the meaning, the purpose is more important. So, Brahma studied like this, scrutinizing the whole Vedas. With fixed concentration and drawing out the essence of something. And he says that after doing this, he has understood that that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. And as Srila Prabhupada puts it, one should become an unalloyed pure devotee of the Lord. So Prabhupada puts it in that way, that he's not saying, the perfection is, that we become very proud, that, I'm a, Prema Bhakti, I've got love of God, or like this. The purport is that to become a pure devotee, to learn the process of becoming completely free from any material motivation, or even for liberation, then approaching Krishna just with a pure motive to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pleasure. That, you know, Prabhupada is putting it that way. Not that we, you know, yeah, my goal one day I'm going to be a Prema Bhakti, I'm going to be a pure devotee of the Lord. You know. Prabhupada always, you know, service attitude is everything. Just to become a pure servant, that's our goal. Servant of the servant of the servant, dasa, 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 Lord Sri Krishna. So, therefore, you know, in our disciplic succession, we follow this line of studying the Vedas. So from Brahma, so Krishna, who is the perfect knowledge. Then Brahma is the perfect student, he also accepts perfect knowledge. And he comes down through Narada Muni, Narada Muni personally instructing Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Śrīla Vyāsadeva, and gradually coming down in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya, Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all accepting, all scrutinizingly studying, and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. We see how they also, Nana Shastra Vicharanika, they scrutinizingly study. They follow the example of Lord Brahma. They study all the revealed scriptures, and you see, you read the Nectar Devotion and Jiva Goswami's, you know, Sandavas. You know, Jiva Goswami, they say, in India, it's understood that, as Prabhupada says, he's recognized that no greater scholar has been before Jiva Goswami, and no greater scholar will come. Such, you know, he has taken the essence of the Vedas, which have already been scrutinizingly examined by the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan and Gopalabhata and Raghunathasa. They have examined all the Vedas and, you know, understood that bhakti is the most important element. Let's take all the various quotes from the Vedas which confirm that and which delineate this process, because this path is so auspicious. The goal of the devotional service is auspicious, but the path itself is also more auspicious than liberation. Even if one is on the path, that person, as a neophyte, is better situated than one who is actually liberated. With no understanding of, that they should be developing a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead to serve him like that. The one who's on the beginning of the path, they're more auspiciously placed. And the Goswamis, then Jiva Goswami, he took that and he described with great detail, giving so many Vedic evidences for each and every point. So much so that it is impossible to defeat or refute the teachings of the Goswamis, especially, you know, since bhakti is the essence, they have given the bhakti shastras like this. So Lord Brahma, of course, you know, he examined the whole Vedas as a whole. We don't have time to do that. So our acharyas, they've understood, well, Brahma has selected bhakti as the most important. In Kali Yuga, they're not going to scrutinizingly study anything, not even the front or the back cover, you know, of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, a Bhagavad Gita, you can give it to someone, you can put it in the home for years. They barely even look at the cover. So they, you know, they took the essence and they, you know, just made it easily available. You don't have to understand the Vedas. We have done it. Here it is. And if you have any doubts, here is quotes from all the Vedas on every aspect of devotional service like that. All we have to do, and then if we can just scrutinizingly study that, then we become, just imagine our good fortune. You know, we sometimes think that we are less fortunate. But, you know, from what I see, the longer this movement is going on, each generation, each devotee who comes to the temple is more fortunate in one sense. And plus, of course, those already there, they're also gaining great fortune because so much more is available. You know, when I joined, we didn't have the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. We had up to the 10th canto, chapter 14. Of course, we had the Krishna book. Now, when people come, they also have, you know, the rest of the 10th canto, the 11th canto, the 12th canto. You know, there was a few tapes floating around. I know that some of Prabhupada's disciples had some tapes of Prabhupada. Now you can get them all. You can get them in tape form, you can get them on CD, you can get them on USB, you can get them on the database, you know, you can get them in book form. You know, everything has been made so much available. Everything has already been examined, scrutinizingly, examined, and the essence has been plucked out so that we can become Paramahamsas. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means that the swan just takes the spiritual essence of everything. If you give a swan milk and water, it will just take the milk. That's what I want. The water. So, we don't necessarily have the ability to be a Paramahamsa. So our predecessors have said, so we'll separate the milk and the water for you, you just drink it. And then you'll be Paramahamsa. So, actually, everything has been laid out so nicely for us. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I have no taste. That's how unfortunate. Everything is there, and the holy name is there, the path of bhakti is there, the morning program is there, what to do, the evening program, the preaching in the middle, association, the temple is there, the books, the essence coming from Brahma down to here, and our position, I have no taste. So, anyway, except of course the devotees, you know, we see the ones coming. The other day I went to the Brahmachari Ashram, I went to the little study there, I was doing something with Gopi Vrindavan. They didn't even know I came into the room, they were like fixed in their study, you know, it's like, just going through the books. They didn't even know I came in or out, they were just, absolutely fixed, scrutinizing. We take knowledge from such brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, and grihastas, and those who accept scrutinizing the essence which has been fed to us. We accept knowledge from those persons, not from persons who heard this and heard that, and in the middle of their life of sense gratification. And this makes that position very safe. So I'll just leave it there. If you have any questions or comments. Yes.
He says, I have this level of relationship.
Mm.
Shiva is more intimate to him.
Yes.
He goes to Shiva. Shiva sends him to Prahlada because he was engaged personally with him. And Prahlada says, oh, I was just there for some time, Hanuman. He's personally serving the Lord. So he knows more about it.
So each one, according to the increase in the confidential relationship, there's more realization.
Right.
Yeah. Very nice point, because again, another example of how Sanatana Goswami, his Brihad, has just, got the essence of all the Vedic knowledge and made this beautiful book for us, the essence of devotees, the essence of the you know, the spiritual abode, the essence of love of God, they're all there. All we have to do is just, you know, if we chant and associate and avoid offences, that taste will come, and just, you know, get as much nectar, which is just so freely available in this great movement by Srila Prabhupada.
Could you further describe the essence of bhakti?
The essence of bhakti is to serve Krishna for his pleasure and not be expecting, you know, anything in return. Just to try to please Krishna. Krishna did stay. Krishna stayed in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the form of the deity and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What's that? Repeat the question. Just you describing how Krishna's pastime of disappearing and winding up all his associates. Devotees understand because it's there in the bhakti liturgies. So in the nectar devotion we understand that the deity form of the Lord and the holy name in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in fact the association with devotees, if one is, you know, constantly hearing and chanting the association of devotees and worshipping the deity form of the Lord, then one is in the direct presence of Krishna. There is no difference whatsoever between Radha Balaba there on the altar, the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. There is no difference whatsoever. They are directly Krishna. they're just presented in a very handy, local way. So, you know, just like the post office. Previously, you know, if you wanted to post a letter, you had to somehow make your way to the post office. We could be like 20 miles up the road, or, you know, the next, you know, it could be, you know, 50 miles away. But gradually, they put a post office just handy to anyone. So, you know, when they put that, although it's a little box, it means they've actually brought the facility of the whole post office by putting that little box in a local place. But no, you know, someone understands, I have full facility to the post office. How is that? They put the little box in just up the corner. You know, here, Radha Balaba, you know, just as Krishna in handy form. Srimad Bhagavatam. If Krishna was personally here, we may offend him in so many ways, because even when he was here, you know, actually under the Pandavas, Draupadi, you know, and you know, Vyas, and like, there wasn't many who understood that he is Bhagavan Sri Krishna when he was personally here. Now we're in the midst of Kali Yuga. If Krishna was, you know, running around doing things, you know, we would think, oh, yes, you know, some crazy offensive thing, and we would become envious like that. So, you know, he appears in a way that protects us from our own envy and foolishness. So he is here, but in a way that we can't really cause ourselves or Krishna too much trouble, because we're, So therefore he appears in the form of the deity, and he's got the gates closed, the curtains shut sometimes, you know, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and the holy name of the Lord. Holy name of the Lord, of course, is the most merciful incarnation of the Lord. You know, and that, but still we should try to avoid offenses. So Krishna is directly here. And you can associate with Krishna always. But as Queen Kunti says, generally, although Krishna is within and without, people can't see him. But if, as Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita, that if you develop prema, this, you know, therefore Brahma is saying, you get on this path of prema, because as you develop in prema bhakti, to that degree you will see, oh, Krishna, always. Yes, I see him. He's within, you know, this devotee, he's within this, you know. This is his energy, you know. He is here. But if we don't follow the four regular principles, if we commit offences while chanting, and if we don't chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if we don't associate with the devotees and constantly hear him chant, although Krishna is here, we will not perceive him. But he is here in a way that's good for us. Any other question? Thank you. Hare Krishna.